Have a seat and please take the green Bibles from the table in front of you. The reading is from Matthew chapter 9, which is on page 9 of the New Testament. That's about this far through your Bibles. Matthew chapter 9, we're reading from verse 27 to the end of the chapter. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying loudly, "Have mercy on us, Son of David!" When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done for you." And their eyes were opened. Then Jesus sternly ordered them, "See that no one knows of this." But they went away and spread the news about him throughout that district. After they had gone away, a demoniac who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the one who had been mute spoke. And the crowds were amazed and said, "Never has anything like this been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "By the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many stories of Jesus sending people out, for him doing his ministry and sending others. We thank you for the many stories we have in the Gospels. We thank you for our own experiences too. Help us now as we think of this topic of reaching out together. Then we can think about the part that we can play in this important role. For your dear name's sake, amen. Well, for those who don't know me, my name's Graham Bibby, and you know that this parish is called All Saints and St. Richard's. Well, I'm part of the "and St. Richard's" bit. I've been a part of St. Richard's for 10 years now, but still, people come up to me and say, "Why are you called Captain? What is the church army? Why do you talk like that?" What are you doing here? And so I begin to tell them a little bit of what Church Army is. For those of you who don't know, Church Army is a part of the Church of England, and we are trained as lay evangelists, and we get jobs, all sorts of different kinds of jobs, working in church plants, working in churches, and a bit like St. Richard's, being attached to a housing estate, so you can get involved with the community. And my story really goes back to my time in Blackpool, if you're wondering where the accent comes from. And really, if you go back to when I was 19, I'd been a Christian for 4 years, but I can safely say that at that point in my life, I had never told anyone, apart from my parents, that I'd become a Christian. I thought, I'll leave that to other people who are older, who are better, who are more confident. So for a few years, I'd learnt more and more about the Bible. I'd learnt how to be a help in my local church, which was all great. But when I was 19, life began to change for me. Now, I'm going to embarrass myself here. It was the summer of 1976. Hands up those who weren't even around in 1976. So many. You don't know what you missed in that summer. It was a hot, hot summer. Oh, with summer talking about it. Some are wishing that they could remember 1976. But it was that year that I decided to join the Church Army Beach Mission. The Beach Mission happened every year on the beach, quite handily, but also in the town. It was that really hot summer, and I used to help out with them, just doing all sorts of working with the children, getting involved with games, street drama, that sort of thing. Mainly on the beach, but also in the town centre. And one hot sunny, mind you, it's always hot and sunny in Blackpool. If you've never been, you try it. Greg loves it. Just ask him about Blackpool. One hot, blistering hot afternoon, I mingled with the crowd. It was an outdoor service outside St. John's Church. I remember it well. If you know Blackpool, St. John's Church is right opposite the Winter Gardens Theatre, where they have a lot of the darts competitions, concerts, all sorts of things going on there, the theatre and the opera house. And I listened intently to the speaker, who was talking about giving over your life to Jesus. And I just listened and thought, isn't it great that people can do that and then be able to tell others about what you've done? Now, I'd been to that service leader a few times in the week, and I'd spoken to him about my reluctance, my fear of sharing my story. I said how scared I was at what people's reaction would be. And I'd never done it. Anyway, in the hot sun, my mind was drifting off while he spoke. But then my head was turned as the speaker said, he knew of a Christian, a young Christian who was in the crowd, who'd recently given over his life to the Lord. And I thought, great, I will listen to this bit. He said, there's a young man called Graham. And he's from right here in Blackpool. And I thought, that's amazing. There's somebody else just like me. And he looked at me directly and said, come over here and tell your story. I went up to the microphone and started to speak. I was shaking. I was shaking from head to toe, but I managed to get the words out of what Jesus had done in my life from the age of 15. Well, before that, and what he was doing. And I can safely say it was one of the worst experiences of my life. I thought there's only one way to get back at the Church Army, and that's to join them. And 20 years later, I did. Now, looking back, I can see that that point had such a tremendous effect on my life. I trained as an evangelist in the Church of England, working as part of a team wherever I went. Warwickshire, over to the Isle of Man, doing church in a pub. It was great. And then over to St. Richard's, Crowborough. And as Church Army's motto says, we share faith through words and action. Let's go back to that Bible passage. Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. There's all sorts of chapters that tell of Jesus sending people out. If you read into chapter 10, it goes on to say how they should prepare for the journey, what to expect, what to do, what to say, what to take with you. Jesus sent out 12. He sent out 70. We read about 72 being sent out. Jesus knew, of course, the importance of sending people out, reaching out together. It becomes very clear to us that Jesus didn't choose to go it alone. No doubt he could do it by himself, but he chose to work with others. He called ordinary people to work with him, to tell others of the good news of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God here on earth. Jesus sent people off in pairs to minister ahead of him in towns and villages he planned to visit. People like you, and yes, even people like me. There was a plan, and it was God's plan. We read that these people were chosen by Jesus, handpicked, you might say, but there's no suggestion that they were better educated, that's a relief, more capable, more special than any others of the disciples, other followers. But they were challenged to remember that it was the Lord's work, not their own, and that they should be people of prayer. Like those disciples sent out, we are challenged to pray, not only for those who have never heard the gospel message, but also for more Christians everywhere to respond to the urgency to share their own message. Jesus, as we read this passage, recognized that there would be opposition to the message. He often pointed out that they would be like lambs among wolves. So he sent them out in twos. Fellowship, for teamwork, for support, for encouragement and for comfort. And whether witnessing on our own doorstep or someone else's doorstep or far away from home, that can be true for us if we just step out in faith together. There was a plan, and it was God's plan. There was also a priority, and it was God's priority. There was an urgent task, and these pairs were to be on their guard against those things which might delay them, distract them, or even confuse their hearers who needed to learn the kingdom of God was close to them. Jesus even tells them to put aside the Jewish dietary laws, their beliefs about what was important to eat, because that wasn't their priority. It was to tell others that there was good news out there. And when we no longer keep the good news to ourselves, when we become the disciples that God wants us to be, we begin to discover for ourselves some of the habits and concerns which previously seemed so important are not so important. Oh, we've got to do it that way. Oh, I couldn't say about myself in that way. Yes, we too can realize that we have something to share and not just something to keep to ourselves. Doesn't matter how old we are. We're never too young. We're never too old. We might not always have the right accent for where we are, but we've always got a message to tell. There was a plan. There was a priority. There was also a promise and a purpose. God's promise and God's purpose. These ordinary people, followers of Jesus, went off to set about the extraordinary. Not because they were forced, but because Jesus himself had called them. He'd chosen them, and he sent them out. They'd seen his power, and above all, they trusted his promises. The Lord of the harvest appointed them to his harvest field, and he promised them power to heal, power to do all sorts of amazing things, power to speak out for him. But God's purpose for those disciples then and for us today is far more. They were promised to be authoritative channels of the Word of God. Jesus says in Luke 10:16, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." How the followers of Jesus then and now declare his word, or even how they keep silent, and how hearers choose to respond to that message, is of eternal significance. I won't ask how many have kept up to date with the journal, or read each page of the 40 days so far, or even if you're part of a Lent course group. I know many of you are in groups looking at the whole theme of better together. But think about this theme that we have for tonight. We're commissioned to reach out together. We don't have to go it alone. We can do it together. Think about Jesus sending out groups in twos. Think about me with Church Army. Think about Crowborough visiting. Have you ever thought, I could do that? Or do you shy away from it? At St. Richard's, we've recently begun an outreach group visiting every home in our area. We want to do it on a regular basis. And already, people have responded by coming along to Messy Church, which is great. And coming along on a Sunday as well. We've talked about it in the past, but now we're beginning to take it more seriously. Look what St. Paul says to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 27. "Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel." It's a long verse. It could even be one of Mark's memory verses. But remember it, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. If you've been reading Rick Warren's book, he says, "We is more powerful than me." It's better if we go out together. There's power in partnership, he goes on to say. And that's never truer than when we're working to tell the world about Jesus. Evangelism. Outreach, sharing the gospel, reaching out. It doesn't matter what we call it. It's always a team effort. Even in those times when we think we're working alone or I'm useless, I couldn't do that. The reality is, when we lead someone to Christ, the Holy Spirit has already been at work in that life. And other believers have also been influential directly and indirectly. Paul again wrote to the Corinthian church this time, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered the plants, but God made you grow." He's prepared the way for us. He knows in advance who it is that we're going out to speak to visit, to get alongside. We're to work together as partners who belong to God. One of my favourite stories in the whole of the Bible is about those four friends in Mark 2 and Luke 5 who joined together to take their disabled friend to see Jesus and lower him through the roof. You know the story. They make a right mess of the roof and let him down, but they work together. We too can draw strength and encouragement from one another as we bring others, like those four friends, into the presence of Jesus. Those friends seem so passionate to bring their friend to him. They don't let anything get in the way, not even a roof. They removed every obstacle to enable their friend to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. What is evangelism? It's about removing obstacles to enable people to meet with Jesus. And the church needs to be urgent about reaching out together. Going back to Church Army, Mark Russell, our chief executive, said recently, "Evangelism is not merely a growth strategy. It's not about helping to shore up a dying institution. Evangelism is about restoring the created order to the vision that God has." The goal is not about converting people. The goal is to see lives changed, hearts renewed, and people transformed into agents of the kingdom themselves. We do evangelism because God yearns that every person on the face of the earth knows his love in their lives, knows themselves secure in his eternal life, in this life and the next, and that many, many, many people will know his peace and his grace. If a church doesn't do outreach, then it's effectively saying that Jesus changes lives, but only for me. A church that doesn't do outreach effectively clearly doesn't really believe what it professes. Someone once wrote, "The test of our real belief is our readiness to share it with other people." Let that be our motto as individuals and as a church. A healthy church yearns to extend the invitation so other people get to experience the joy and the life of Jesus for themselves. Evangelism is not about engaging people with church. It's about helping people encounter Jesus. They do that through the Spirit leading them to Jesus, who leads them to God the Father. And it's our job as Christians to pray continually for people to encounter God and to enable us to live in such a way that people are introduced to God through our life and through our witness. What do you have to share? We should have something indescribably incredible to share with those around us. We know of a hope that anchors the soul through every trial and hardship. We know of a name that is higher and greater than the name of any sickness or disease or anything else on earth. We know that nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of the Heavenly Father. Aren't they worth sharing? Aren't they worth us reaching out together with those around us? It's not called the good news for nothing. We have answers to the questions that the world is asking. How many people do we know? How many people just on the doorstep of our church are desperately searching for hope in 2015? How many people have never really known the meaning of true love? How many people are desperate about facing tomorrow? Think about our own town. There must be countless families facing trouble, hardship, people battling with all types of illnesses, marriages in crisis, people with addiction and abuse trouble. We know someone who can be a help, a strength, a support to all of them. Yes, evangelism is God's idea. It's God's vision. It's God's purpose. And it's an idea, vision, and purpose he wants us to do together. He invites you and I to join him in his mission. Count it a real privilege and step out in faith, because God goes before us. God will give us all we need. At 19, I thought I couldn't possibly share my faith. But God never calls the equipped. He always equips those he calls. God has called and equipped us all to take part in this exciting, life-giving, world-changing mission. Think of that person that you wrote on the card. Think of someone you can pray for that they meet with Jesus. And pray for them. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers, workers, into his harvest." Today, may your and my prayer be, "Lord, here I am, send me." But then comes the challenge to go and do what he tells us to. Let's bow our heads in prayer.